All right. This morning, I'm speaking to the vast majority of you. Did you look at the sermon title this morning? Encouragement for Seniors. I was sitting back there in Sunday school this morning, I thought to myself, you know what? You're a senior, buddy. Find that out when you get to the restaurant, you find out you get a senior deal. Wow. So I'm hoping this morning, trusting in God, that we're going to encourage your hearts today. I'm going to share a pile of stories, which I almost never do. We're going to do that this morning and share some of those and see what God will do in our hearts and our lives. We're turning to Psalm number 92. So we read 91. Now we're going to go to 92 and just look at the first five verses as our springboard this morning as we consider the subject of encouragement for seniors. Psalm 92, 1 through 5. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the wonderful salvation that we have through the finished work on the cross of Calvary and the resurrection from the tomb. We ask that you might speak to all of our seniors today in a special way. And those that aren't seniors yet, help them to realize they'll be there tomorrow. Doesn't take long. And so we ask that you would speak to all of our hearts here today and give us joy and gladness and give us the wonderful prospects of the future. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue in the work until that day you call us home to be with yourself. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I trust and depend in you for that. I need your help. Ask for that today. Bless our hearts together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old story about a preacher who was leaving his church, and they were having a big farewell dinner for him, and he noticed that one of the founding members looked really, really sad. And so he said to this person, "The next preacher might be a lot better than me." And she replied, "That's what they said before you came. It just keeps getting worse." So I know not to say that. Father was talking to his son, and he said, "Son, you've got to set goals in your life, and one of those goals is you don't ever quit." He said, "Remember George Washington? Yes. Do you remember Thomas Jefferson? Yes. Do you remember Abraham Lincoln? Yes. You know what they all had in common? No. What? They didn't quit, son. They didn't quit. Do you remember Ollivander McTavish? No. Who was he? Well, you don't remember him because he quit." Never quit. Man said, "I remember growing up in a farm and on the farm and watching every day the cows, the horses, and the goats stretching their necks through the fence to eat the grass on the other side. We would occasionally put old bales just outside the fence to keep the ditches from washing out. Those dusty hay bales the cattle wouldn't touch in the feed trough somehow became a rare delicacy because they were on the other side of the fence. It always looks more appealing on the other side of the fence. Something else always looks more appealing. And the temptation is to go over there to what we would think are greener pastures. Now, I wonder how many of us this morning could testify this morning that God has proven to you that the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that I have found many times that God will even take years to prove that to me. The temptation is strong to head over there, go over there, instead of staying in the safety inside the fence that God has surrounded you with. So you stay in the fence, okay? It is not greener over there. Stay where God has put you. There was once a man who was getting ready to sail his boat from Massachusetts to England. There was a crowd of people there. They were not supportive. They told him about everything that could possibly go wrong. The sun will burn you. Your food will run out. That boat's going to sink. You're never going to make it. As the little boat pulled out, there was one man there who was shouting encouragement. You're a great man. It's going to go well with you. We're with you. We're proud of you. You're something special. Well, this story is a lot like our lives. We are all, this morning, we are all in our own little boat, and we are journeying, and we don't know how the journey is going to go. And as we head out to sea, there are many critical and negative people out there. Don't be one of them. Many are better at discouraging than encouraging. On June the 1st, 1965, this man we're talking about with a little boat 13 and a half feet long. That's not a very big boat to go from Massachusetts to England. 13 and a half feet. That's like two-thirds the length of a pew. Not very big. Well, it would be the smallest boat in history to ever make the trip. The man named his little tiny boat Tinkerbell. The man's name was Robert Manry. Ever hear of him? I never did before. He was bored at his job. He was a copy editor for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. So he took a leave of absence to fulfill this secret dream that he had of sailing over to England. He was not afraid of the ocean at all. He was afraid of all the people who would try and talk him out of it. So he hardly told anyone except for his wife and some relatives. His wife, Virginia, was his greatest supporter and encourager. The trip turned out to be not very pleasant. There were sleepless nights trying to stay out of the path of shipping lanes. I wouldn't sleep either with those humongous ships. Wow. His food became tasteless. Loneliness caused hallucinations. His rudder broke three times. Many times the storm swept him right out of his boat. But he was smart. He planned ahead. He tied himself to the boat. He could get back. After 78 days alone at sea, he sails into England on August 17th. So he took off June the 1st, 1965, got there August 17th. He thought to himself as he was approaching what he would do when he got there. Well, I'll check into a hotel. I'll go have a really, really nice dinner all by myself. And then the next morning, I'll check with the Associated Press and see if they're interested in my story. Well, he didn't realize it, but the word was out. The word was out. As he came into the harbor, there were 300 boats with horns honking to greet him. There were 40,000 people on shore screaming and hollering. That's like a college football stadium full. He was a hero, but there was a bigger hero. On the dock was his wife, Virginia, welcoming him in. She refused to join the naysayers, the critical, the negative. She had given him constant encouragement, which helped him pursue and complete his dream. Do you know what we need? Millions of Virginias. We need millions of people like that who are encouraging no matter what. Our first point this morning, it's encouraging to see God using older people. It's encouraging to see God using older people. I was thinking this morning when I was a kid, we always went out to the Mount Zion Fire Hall for these big banquets. And the head cook just lived five doors up the road from us. And I can still see her, and I can still see us going in the kitchen when it was over and purchasing leftovers, turkey. And their filling was phenomenal. And the gravy, mashed potatoes, and that dried corn, same menu every year. It was just wonderful. But who were all those people back in that room cooking and setting up? It was all senior ladies. You ever notice that? You know, what banquet facility, what fire hall do you know where they're not all senior people there? Okay, so they make it happen. Abraham and Sarah were past 90 when Isaac was born. Wow. Moses and Aaron were past 80 when they confronted Pharaoh. Wow. How'd you like to do that? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning a little bit, getting into that story. Joshua and Caleb were leading the conquest past 100 years of age. Leading the conquest, it wasn't 25-year-olds. It wasn't 30-year-olds. It wasn't 40-year-olds, no. It was these old guys. I think it was Moses. The Bible says that at age 110, he could still grip his sword and swing it well at 110 years old. Daniel was past 80 as governor in Babylon. He was an older man when God used him so mightily. It was incredible. We need to remember this. We have others, Simeon, Anna, Elizabeth, and Zacharias, all up there in years when God used them marvelously. So it's encouraging God uses senior saints. Point number two, God still uses seniors today. God still uses seniors today. Look at the elder board, the deacon board, the pastors, the workers in the church. Most of them are seniors. You know, a lot of people say to me, you know what, if we don't get a whole lot of young families in here with kids, we're going to die out. I've been listening to that for, I'm almost 64 years old. I've been hearing that, but you know what, the Church of the Open Door, which is now Open Door Baptist, they're still going. Galilee Baptist in Washington, where I was second, it's still going. Faith Chapel, it's still going. You know what happens? People wake up when they start getting older and they head to churches like Faith Chapel where the Word of God is really preached. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. God still uses uses senior today. Try not to use that word old. You know, so many women serve in the church. So many senior women serve in the church. What do? They teach, they sing, they play instruments, they cook for other people, they decorate, they clean, they do benevolence, they make special activities happen, and more. Who made yesterday happen? Seniors. Seniors made that happen yesterday. We got men in the church who serve in so many ways as seniors. They do all kinds of work projects. They fix what's broken. They build new ministry projects. They update the old and broken down things. They work outside. They teach. And they have fun doing it. You know, who put that big screen TV up on that wall? Seniors did that. Seniors did that. You know, who does so many projects around this church? Seniors do that. And we have seniors in this church, and every church has them. They continue to serve and to work until they absolutely can't. And that's the way it ought to be. You go and you go and you go until you can't. Seniors can set examples for the young. When you retire from full-time work, you have time to do many things for God. You know? What I see, though, oftentimes is seniors retire, and then they retire from church, and they retire from serving God, and they retire from doing things that they ought to be doing. It's like, what's up with that? Seniors can do hospitality, edification, evangelism. They can become prayer warriors, Bible readers, and Bible students. And yes, seniors still grow and learn and go in the Word. I used to think when I was a lot younger, and I go to these preachers meetings, all these senior preachers there, and I'm like, why are they here? They should know everything by now. Then a few years go by, it's like, oh, you don't know it either. You got to keep going. You keep learning. You keep growing. You keep going to the meetings. You know, seniors give of their time, their talents, their tithes, their offerings. A lot of seniors leave legacies to the church when they go home to heaven. Now, even when the strength and the stamina and the push and the muscles just aren't there anymore, you can still have a powerful prayer ministry in the church. I know people in this church that take that prayer sheet and pray over it several times a day. They can't do anything else. Man, do they pray. And we need that. There's power in prayer. Prayer is never, ever wasted. So if you get bored, you know what to do. Get that prayer sheet out. Get that prayer sheet out. Get your prayer journal out. Get out that other list you have to pray for. Go over it again. It'll work. When you get to heaven, you're going to be like blown away by what God has done through those prayers. You know what? If you take all the seniors out of the church, you're in trouble. I don't care what church it is. I don't care if it's a Bible church or a liberal church. You take all the seniors away, you're done. You're dead. You're finished. You gotta have the seniors. You're in trouble without them. Thirdly, this morning, the Bible is full of encouragers. The Bible is full of encouragers. Let's just look at a few this morning. Jonathan encouraged David. What a huge encouragement he was. I mean, Saul seeking his life, and here the king's son is my biggest encourager. He's my best friend. Blood's thicker than water, not in that case. Not in that case at all. Jonathan was a huge encouragement, gave him lots of great advice. They were so very close. Barnabas encourages John Mark, that guy that Paul said, we're done with him. Barnabas said, no. Well, I'm going to come alongside of him and help him out. Next thing you know, we've got two missionary teams instead of one. Now, twice as much is getting done. Barnabas was not a young man. He was a senior. And then we have the Apostle Paul. Who did he encourage? Well, everybody on the planet. All those churches that were, he was always writing letters and encouraging people, even from jail cell. Wow. Queen Esther encouraged her people to fast and to pray. It was crunch time. We may be gone as a nation, and boy, did she have good advice. Rahab encouraged the spies. They would have been done had they gone into somebody else's house. No, they got somebody who's going to protect them, watch over them, who understood the situation, who understood who these spies, who their God was, and what's going to happen to my city. Yeah, I get that. So she was a huge, and the story doesn't end with that with her either. Then we have Judge Debbie. Deborah encourages Barak. You know, without her, I don't think this guy could have got it done. I mean, she was a huge encouragement to him. And finally, who encourages all of us here this morning? God does. God encourages us. Just read. Just read and be encouraged. Point number four, be an encourager. Be an encourager. We're all called to be encouragers. You know, the Bible is full of encouraging verses. I have two pages of encouraging verses here. I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to read some of them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves, wherefore encourage yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord, all capitals, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I don't believe in tattoos, but it wouldn't hurt to have that one backwards so that when you look in the mirror, there it is. Well, you can just tape it up there. That is a wonderful verse. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with you. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us or encourages us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to encourage them, comfort them, which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves, the encouragement that we ourselves are encouraged of God, comforted of God. Psalm 121, the whole deal, 8 verses. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. What was Elijah doing to the prophets of Baal? He was mocking them. Your God's asleep. Nothing's happening. Where's the fire? Sacrifice is still there. Come on. Right? The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord does that for us. We don't do it. We're incapable, correct? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah, payday is coming. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's why we get in here every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, you will sink. 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 Got to have it. God will, He promises us, He will take care of us, He will guide us. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. I like that. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Yeah, we are on the winning side. no matter what we see out there, how utterly ridiculous and foolish our government is, God's still on the throne. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 15:2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Got ministry out there. Luke 12:6, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Far more value. We had an interesting thing happen, I think, 2 days ago. We had the feeders out back, and we have two kinds of woodpeckers that come. And I love that the red-breasted woodpecker has that stripe over his head. Beautiful red stripe, and when the sun hits that, it's just magnificent. And then they have the black and white, beautiful feathers. And they come to that suet thinger and enjoy that. Well, 2 days ago, one of those red-breasted woodpeckers, for some reason, he took off straight for our patio glass window. And he went, bam! And he fell flat to the deck. I mean, not on his feet. He's laying there. And his little eyeballs are just blinking a little bit. Never got to see that up close. They go back like that. And his beak's hanging open. We thought, that's it. This thing is not going to make it. So we went back in to the dining room and had our supper, and we're looking. A half an hour later, that thing got up and it flew away. And next thing you know, he was back on that suet thing. I took a picture and posted it. That's the one right there. There he is. Boy, he's something else. Oh, you have to look back there. That's him. That's him. A northern flicker? Okay. I looked in my book. I thought that's what it looked like. But he made it. So, now our daughter named him Walter. And I said, no, correction, Lazarus. His name is Lazarus. Yeah. Yeah. God took care of that little woodpecker, I'll tell you what. Got up and went. I didn't think he was going anywhere. I thought I was going to have to take care of him and bury him, but nope. He got up and flew away. That was a beautiful sight. And then you got Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be encouraged, comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Wow. You know, there are times that we all need to be lifted up. I did not pick the choir anthem, Lift Him Up, because I didn't know what I was preaching when I picked that. Isn't it funny, isn't it interesting how God puts things together for you? He just orchestrates. Now, we all need to be lifted up. So we got to make it a goal. Like that little, the father told the boy, you got to make a goal. A goal to never quit. And so a goal for us is to encourage other people and lift them up and help them along. June the 18th, 1956, 2 years before I was born, a man and a little girl suffered a freak accident. They were in a speedboat. They hit a high wave and it shot them out of the boat into the water. The 50-year-old man held the little girl's head above the water and she was rescued. The man didn't make it. He drowned. The man's name was Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, a discipleship ministry. Time magazine wrote, "Dawson Trotman lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it." His obituary stated that he died just the way he lived, always lifting others up. That should be our legacy as believers here this morning. Always lifting others up. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. We've read a slew of verses that encourage our hearts to push on, to go through the storm, to know that you're there, to know that you care about us. If you care about that little bird, you care about us. Much more value in a human being than a little bird. Help us remember the truth of your word. May your word be a big encouragement to us, and then we can turn around and be a big encouragement to others. Help us to do that. We ask today for all of our seniors here this morning, we pray that you would bless them and help them and strengthen them in their lives. And strengthen them and heal them from those things that hold them back, get them down. Want them to look over in other fields. We know that you're here, you're with us, your strength and your grace, your mercy, your power is everything that we need. So Lord, may we go forth in spite of anything happening around us in this world, in this country, on our street. May we be those people who lift others up. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.